Sukkah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, 3:2. And now we move on to the topic of the Hadas, the myrtle branch. So the Pasuk requires those four different species. The myrtle, the Hadas, is referred to in the Pasuk as Anath Eitz Avos, which means a branch of a braided tree, something like that. Avos means like a braid, like a three-ply cord or like a chain. It means implies braiding or plaiting, as they say in England. So it's understood to refer to this myrtle, and the reason why the myrtle stalk looks like a braided tree, so to speak, is because, it, as you know probably, it very neatly has these groups of three leaves which pass up the stalk of the myrtle branch and make it look very pretty indeed, and it has sort of like a braided look as such. So the central component, the essential part of the Hadas and what its hidur is that it is, so to speak, braided nicely and neatly. That is to say that the groups of three leaves as they go up the stalk are all very uniform and emerging from the same spot. That is to say, we want that each group of three, the Chazal refer to it as a cane, which means literally like a bird's nest, but the idea is that it doesn't really look like a bird's nest, but it comes in triplets, which is a reference perhaps to the kingdom of birds which come in pairs. Whatever the case, those kingdom, we want them to be the stalk from which each of the leaves are attached. A leaf really has two parts. The blade of the leaf is what you probably call the leaf, and the stalk that attaches it to the branch or twig, that is called the petiole, P-E-T-I-O-L-E. So we want that the petioles of all three of the leaves at each of the levels, at each cane, should be emerging at the same height as the other ones. So if they're all emerging at the same height from the others in the groups of threes as they go up the stalk, so that's going to, up the branch, I'll call it, so that's going to be the ideal way that a hadas should be, and that makes it have the avos braided nature. If they're coming out from, the petioles are coming from different levels up the stalk, so that's called a hadas shota, like a crazy hadas, and it's not kosher. So the essential components of the hadas is that we have a branch that has the kinim, those sets of three coming out, all the petioles of each of them coming out in the same levels, through ideally the whole distance of the required length of the hadas, which is three tefachim, and as long as you have the majority, you're going to be okay. Now the Mishnah says, hadas hagazel, if you have a stolen hadas, v'hayavesh, or dried out hadas, pasul, those are exempt, those are invalid. Same way that the previous Mishnah started, and the guzzle is the same idea. Hadas ha-guzzle, a stolen hadas, is invalid for one of two reasons. First of all, it's not yours on the first day if you stole it, and second of all, it's potentially a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, and if that's the case, it's a mitzvah that came through some crime, an aveira, and if that being the case, it would be invalid for all 7 days, in contrast to the lacking of it being yours, which is a invalidation for the first day. As for Hayavesh, a dried-out Hadas, so in the previous Mishnah, when we talked about the definition of what's dried out by the Lulav, we had a number of shitas. We talked perhaps, the Tosva said the whole thing was so dried out it crumbled with your fingernail. We said the Halacha follows the Raya, which is as long as it hasn't lost all of its greenness. If all the greenness is gone, then it's Yavesh. So when it comes to the Hadas, everyone agrees that being brittle and breaking with fingernails doesn't indicate that it's Yavesh. The definition of Yavesh when it comes to the Hadas is also that the green has left it, specifically that the top of your leaves have lost their green. The reason why is because if it's dried out, meaning it's like brittle, but it's still green, if you put it in water, it can kind of become sort of like soft and, you know, revivify, come back a little bit. So the Yavesh, dried out Hadas, that's Pasul, is one in which the top leaves have lost, all their leaves, or at least the top leaves, have lost their green. Okay, those are Pasul. Shel Asher v'shel Ir HaNidachas, also Pasul. Like the previous Mishnah, the Asherah is the tree that was worshipped. So if a Jew had a myrtle bush, he bowed down to it as his idol, the bush becomes now an Asherah, can't be used, must be burned. And similarly, Ir HaNidachas, that if there was a myrtle tree, actually a myrtle branch that had been detached from the ground, that was in the possession of a Jew who was a member of the Ir Nidachas, and they're all getting killed for having gone to be a wayward city. So this wayward Jew's stuff all gets piled up with the rest of them, their possessions of the Ir Nidachas in the middle of the town square, and burned. And therefore, the point is that both for the Asherah and Ir Nidachas, this myrtle branch needs to be burned, because the requirement for an Asherah is burning, requirement for Ir Nidachas is burning, and therefore they lack the requisite shear. They required three tefachim. We say since it has to be burned, it's so to speak as if it legally is already burned, meaning it no longer has the requisite three tefachim that would need. Niktam Rosho, if its top was lopped off. Now, in the previous Mishnah by the Lulav, we had a number of shitas. We said the halacha follows the Rosh, which is that the Rosh, the Rabbeinu Asher is the Rosh, but the Niktam Rosho, the head of the Lulav, which has been chopped off, is referring to the top leaves, which extend above the Shidra, the spine, if you will, of the Lulav. Although we had other shitas that said it was the spine itself, here all agree that the Niktam Rosho we're referring to here is that the spine and not the leaves have been clipped at top. So if the tippy top of some leaves have been lost, that's not going to be Niktam Rosho. It's if the spine itself gets detached, snipped off on top. So that's going to be Pasul, says the Tana over here. Truth is, it's subject to Mechlokas Tanaim and a little complicated, so let's hold the Halach Lamaisa on that piece until we get through Mishnah Dod. We will revisit the topic of Niktam Rosho for Hadassim. Next, Nifritzu Alav is also a Pasul. Nifritzu, we had a number of shitas of what was Nifritzu when it came to the Lulav. So the Bar Tanura learned like Rashi, it's that the leaves of the Lulav are totally detached. And that's obviously a very ugly Lulav. And if the majority of them were detached, it's Nifritzu. That will be the definition, that will be the, you know, the consensus of the Rishonim over here for most of them. When it talks about a hadas, we're talking about hadas nifritzu. What we mean is that the leaves fell off of the stalk, so you've now lost your leaves. Now, if the leaves have fallen off, so now you've got an invalidated hadas because you don't have the avos feature anymore. You've lost this braided look. Meaning, let me clarify. So the Gemara has a case. It says, listen, that the hadasim, hadas amitzri, the hadasim that grew in Egypt, had seven leaves at each cane, at each level of the, there was, instead of three, there were seven at a seven per level up the kenum as they went up the branch. So that would mean, if you lost the majority of your leaves, four out of seven on each cane fell off, so the hadas would still be kosher, because you had, although indeed many leaves have fallen off, but you haven't lost the braided nature of it. This in contrast, so meaning that it's not the leaves per se that are falling off, but the loss of the braided look. Meaning, back by the lulav, we said, also nifritzu alav, if the leaves fall off according to Bar Tanura Rashi, it's going to, and then reattached like a broom with a, you know, reattach on, that's no good. That would be to have the majority of the leaves. If the majority of the leaves were detached, it becomes puzzle. Again, there were other shitas on the halacha. It's more strict than just ripped off, even dangling off like the riff, and so on. But anyways, putting that aside, the point is it was losing the leaves per se. But here not. Here, Nifritzu Alav means you're losing leaves, means and therefore you've lost the triplicate nature of the braiding on the way up. That will be puzzle if you've lost it in majority. So as long as you have the majority of the length of your hadas still retaining the braided sort of triplicate nature, it's going to be okay, and it's kosher, and after that it's going to be puzzle. Oshahayu anav of merubos me'alav, or finally one more psul, it'll be possible if the berries are in greater number than the leaves on the branch of your hadas. Hadasim are a myrtle plant. They make berries like all plants make, essentially. And the berries start out being green, and then they get red and ultimately turn like kind of a bluish black. If the berries we're talking about here are green berries, so then they don't, you don't really notice them, and they're not a problem. But once they start turning red and then shifting towards black, they make the hadas look kind of mottled and multicolored, and that's ugly, and therefore it loses its status of being hadar. And therefore, once you have more berries and you have leaves, your hadas becomes invalid. V'me'aten, says the Mishnah, if you do chop them off, if you reduce the number of berries, cutting some of them off, as long as you have more leaves than berries, so then kosher, it'll be kosher. But the Mishnah warns, Ve'ein m'ma'atin b'yom tov. You may not clip off those berries on Yom Tov of Sukkot. The reason why is because there's a Isser Torah of repairing a broken utensil, Matakin Kli, and or Tikkun Mana, same thing. And it looks, since the Hadas sort of functions as a Kli, so to speak, so it looks like you're fixing your broken utensil, so to speak, of the Hadas, and therefore the Rabban, at least, is forbidden to repair it by clipping off the berries to make it functional. So you can't do that on Yom Tov, but you certainly can do it before Yom Tov, or in the, if you didn't see it before, in the middle days of Sukkot. Before I end off, I just want to say as a word to the wise. In my years, when I used to very carefully look for my Arba Minim in the Shuk and spend many hours doing so, I found that the Hadasim were by far the most difficult to find kosher, much more so than the Esrog. The Lulav probably actually second or most difficult. If you are looking for them to be really done right, meaning that the petioles are really on each level the exact same, you got to look long and hard. And my tip to you is, it's always, if it's okay on top, it's still going to be messed up down below, lower down on the stalk. But if it's messed up or good, for that matter, down below, it's almost for sure the same. It's better as you go up the stalk. So if you're checking, you want to look at the bottom, down, you know, past 2 tefachim to 3 tefachim, and then see if they're lined up over there. And if yes, you've got a hope of finding a nice, beautiful hadas.